Okay, well, good evening, everyone. God bless each and every one of you. Nobody told me there'd be so many people here, but the Lord will lead me to share my testimony, and I'm blessed to be here. And even though I'm going to share my testimony, it's about Christ. It's about bringing glory to Christ and lifting up His name. For introduction, I would like to share a passage in the Bible that I really identify with, which is in Zechariah chapter 3. Would be verse 1 and 4. From 1 to 4. And it goes like this. And he showed me, Joshua the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand puckle out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. So that passage always blessed me a lot. I really identify with it, and I feel like I'm a brand puckle out of the fire. It's God's mercy amazes me. I don't deserve it, but praise God that He's a merciful God. So I'm going to start with my childhood. I was born in Mexico, August 4th, 88. Yesterday was my birthday. Thank you. I turned 30 yesterday. So depending on who I tell my age, some people tell me I'm young and some people tell me I'm getting old. So in my childhood, I live in a very good financially in a very good home. My dad had a good job. I had everything I needed. I had a good childhood. The only thing that comes to my mind is many nights I would wait on my dad to come back from work, and many times he would never come. He had a drinking problem, and I love my dad so much. I feel really loved by him, but those things kind of, that's from what I can remember, that's one of the things that I kind of hurted me back then. And my mom, she was a good mom. She teach us how to clean the house. She never let us be without doing nothing. She was She always deal with us. If we were trying to be lazy, she make sure that we wash the dishes and help out with the cleaning. Spiritually, we didn't follow no religion. No, we didn't go to any church. We just live life. No, they never taught me the fear of the Lord, or it was just. We never, there was a time where we studied, had Bible studies with Jehovah Witness, but they never got into going there. I remember going to Catholic temples for weddings, and I get scared seeing the idols, and I felt something against the temples. I don't know what it was, but something, I didn't feel right about going there. 1998, my dad decided that he was going to bring us to America. He wanted us to go to school here, graduate from high school, and maybe go to college and have a good life, live the American dream, but it didn't turn out like that. It was a new experience. I was 10 years old when we came. It was a lot of struggle because I had to learn a new language. I'm not too smart, so it took me a while. And I'm still learning the English, the language. I don't have it 100%, but the Lord will help me to express myself. In 2002, we were at home and somebody knocked on the door, and it was the police looking for my dad. That was one of the saddest days of my life because I remember when they took him, I pretty much spent all night crying and, you know, just missing my dad. And he got arrested because before he met my mom, he lived in America and he had a case. He was going through courts and he never finished it and went to Mexico. And he had a warrant. So I don't know how, but they end up finding out where he was and they took him. And he spent 2 years in prison. When 2004, when he come out, my mom decided not to follow him anymore. When he got deported, she didn't follow him to Mexico, so she divorced him. That's another thing that really broke my heart. I never imagined having divorced parents. That affected me a lot. I made me rebellious, made me bitter. And anytime I be around friends that still had mom and dad, it was I kind of felt bad. I still had hope, you know. The years went, and I hope that they can marry back, but no, it never happened. So it was a hard life after this, you know, for me. So I was 14, 15, and the sister after me, she was 13, and they put us in the bus, and it was a 2-day trip to Mexico, and we end up going ourselves with no adult to, we wanted to be with our dad because we knew that it was mom that didn't want to be with him anymore. So I want to thank the Lord because he watched over us. You know, there's many things going on in Mexico, and he took care of us many times. And thank the Lord for that we managed to make it to Mexico, and I spent a year there. The time I was there in Mexico, my dad told me if I wanted to keep going to school, and I said no. I don't want to go to school. I want to look for a job. And so I started working at a gas station that had they washed cars. They had the machine, like Mike's. And what I did, I vacuumed every car before it went into the washer. So I did pretty good. In December, all the people that came over from, they went to Mexico from America, give me dollars for tip, so it was pretty good. I did good. So after I spent a year there, some of my family was going to come over from from Mexico to here, and they asked me if I wanted to come along, and I didn't have a plan, but when he invited me, it was one of my dad's cousin invited me, and then I said, yeah, I'll go. But the Lord got a purpose in each and every one of our lives. We don't know why of things, but when I come back and I managed to get back here, then again I had a chance to go back to school, to high school, but I decided not to. I want to make money, I want to work, and you know, I don't want to be without money in my pocket, and so I started working in Delphus, Ohio, in a factory, packing cheesecakes, and they make the dips, some sour cream with salsa and guacamole. They did those things too. Yeah, I did pretty good. They gave me a lot of overtime, but not long after that, I got into drinking. And then after that, I got into doing drugs. I did marijuana and did cocaine. I never got addicted to marijuana. I just, what I did, got addicted to was cocaine. And I had a friend that he sell, and my best friend would sell a bunch of it. That make it worse. I didn't have to buy none of it, and I had all I wanted, and it kind of made it worse for me. The drinking, I just drink when I had doing cocaine. Really, I couldn't drink if I didn't get cocaine. You know, it was. I guess I never fell into. Never had a problem with drinking. Started going to the nightclubs for, I say, 2 years. That was my life, just to enjoy the pleasures of life that lead to destruction. I was in very much darkness at the time. Just all I thought of is having fun and going to parties, and didn't. I was living like if I was never going to die, and thank the Lord that I'm still here, and He took care of me. By the end of 2006. I start losing the desire and the pleasure that these things were bringing me. I starting to, I don't know, feel lonely, and it didn't bring me the same joy that it used to right at the beginning. I still kept going out, but just following the flow, not really just doing things because other people were doing it. I remember a couple times, two times I went 3 days with no sleep and nothing to eat. And as I was there, you know, just drinking and doing drugs, just many times what convicted me was the singing of the birds. Just seeing daylight and knowing that I still haven't slept. That really scared me, and the singing of the birds convicted me a lot. It was. I thought to myself, "What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? Or what am I gaining doing this? What am I doing with these people right here? I wasn't taught none of that. I had my family was gave me a lot of advice, but I never listened." By the end of 2006, I met my girlfriend, which is now my wife. We met at a nightclub, and at right at first, you know, it was, I don't know what it was, but I felt something special towards her. It was different. It was different when I met her. I really can't explain that, but I knew that I had a special feeling for her. Not long after we met and we started being boyfriend and girlfriend, one night I was getting ready to go to the nightclub, and we were making a couple bags to go, the one which we were gonna sell at that night, and I don't know what made me do it, but I grabbed the rock of cocaine and sniffed. I don't know why I did it, and right then I felt like something exploded in my mind. My heart started pumping really fast, and I ran out the door, and I heard that milk cuts the effect of cocaine, and so I went in the kitchen and grabbed the gallon of milk and drank milk. I drank the whole gallon, and not long after that, I started just throwing up and walking back and forth on the sidewalk, and I was scared to go to the hospital, but then I decided I should go. I might not make it, and I went to the hospital. They took me to the hospital, and right after I got to the hospital, I went in the restroom and just waited there. You know, I wanted to get treated, but then again, I didn't. They're going to ask questions, and I was underage yet, and, you know, it was, so I didn't get treated. The next day, I woke up, and my chest was hurting, and it was, that night, I was so tense. My muscles, or whatever they are, my chest was swollen. After that, I took pills like for a year. It was really tough on me. I went through, I don't know, nervous breakdown or depression. I don't know what it was. After that, my life wasn't the same. But then my girlfriend was really supportive. She supported me to a lot. She spent many days. You know, when I met her, it was all fun, and we had a bunch of did a lot of good fun things. But that's another thing that I saw good on her. That, you know, in the rough times, there she was. She could have easily. We only had like 2 months of being boyfriend and girlfriend, and she was there by my side. She supported me a lot. I remember not being able to be by myself. I was had my little brother had to be with me on my side at all time. I felt I was gonna die, and I always tell everybody I'm gonna have a heart attack, and went to the doctor a couple times. I told the doctor, they checked my heart a couple times, and the heart was fine. So there I was, going everywhere, you know, looking, seeing different kind of doctors, and nobody would help. I would shake. I was scared to drink a pop, you know, before that happened to me, I was able to drink energy drinks, and now if I take a little drink, I'll probably end up at the hospital. I can't drink those. And so it was really tough on me at that time. So doctors couldn't help me. I was in bed. So what do? I decided to go with Grandpa to the church he attended. And they had me go on to the altar and they prayed for me. And the pastor had me say a prayer. And even though I was repeating the prayer, that prayer was coming from the heart. I wasn't just repeating. I was really crying out to God. I don't have nobody to help me at the moment. You know, all I had, you know, left is to cry out to the Lord. And a couple days after that, the Lord delivered me from that, and I was able to go back out again. I was able to enjoy life again. I lived a clean life, no going out, just kind of staying home and doing a couple changes. But right after that, I went back at it. You know, I went back to living in. Well, I never really born again at this moment. And a couple months after that, I quit the drugs. I'm sure I was not going to go back to doing drugs. I was afraid. I can't see him. I'm too scared. But when everything went okay, now again, I go back to selling drugs. I quit doing them, but then like I said, I had a friend that would sell a lot of drugs, so I had a big chance to make money that way. I got into selling drugs, and there I was being stubborn, not seeking God, not willing to surrender to the Lord. I think many times that's the heart of man, you know, how we can rebel and lust and have no communion with the Lord. That's going to lead us to destruction. So within 6 months of that, I'd say another big thing happened to me. I was making a deal one day, and we were inside the house. I had $4,000 worth of drugs, and we were in the kitchen in the house, and all of a sudden, two more guys come out in the living room and with guns, and one of them had a baseball bat, and wow, that shocked me. I wasn't expecting that, and all they would say was to get on the ground, and one of the things that they didn't want is for me to look at their faces. They would tell me not to look at their faces. And so when this happened to me, there I was again. Like in a couple seconds or so, I don't know, I could picture my whole life, my past life. I saw my dad, I saw my mom, my girlfriend, and I really felt like that was it, that here I am. This that's it for me. This is where I die right here. And but even though I was desperate, I still was able to cry out to God. I was still able to cry out to God, and I told the Lord again, give me a second chance. I told the Lord, let me live, and I will change. So I'd say I was there for 5-10 minutes, and then I had a cousin with me. That cousin of mine was neighbor of the guys, and he started telling them, "Hey, keep the drugs and let us go." So finally, they let us go. But I wanna say that it was the Lord that rescued me. I think God, in His mercy, didn't let me die there. But I know that some people don't make it. You know, I had friends that died doing that, and some of them went to prison for quite some time. And I also had money on me. I had golden chains with me. I was doing good money wise. I was without working and just selling, and they took everything. I remember my friends telling me, "Hey, let's go back. Let's get them." Especially the one that was with me. He was really mad of what had happened, and he was willing to do anything. And that's when I said, "Hey, I don't have a heart. I don't have a heart to kill, so what am I doing in this business? I'm not gonna. I better get out of here. I better just, you know, just." I remember after that, I had that debt with me, and I quit selling. So now I got a job working $7.50 an hour at a potato chips in Fort Wayne. So it was. It was hard for me to pay that money. I had a friend that helped me pay half of it, but it was a big struggle, big problems for me. I was just, I didn't know what to do. If I go to Mexico, or, you know, it was just a mess. My life was just a big mess. But like I said, even though I wasn't born again, in these things that happened, I think the Lord heard me. I think the Lord heard of my cry when I asked Him. I begged mercy, you know. I said, "Give me another chance," and I'm here. After that, I started going to a Spanish church, a Pentecostal church. I kind of found the would be like the safe gospel. They made a lot of emphasis in having you being saved by saying the sinner's prayer. There was no discipleship or no denying of self or being doers, none of that. There was light in that. It was, my life was going in a good direction. I remember quitting cussing, and right away I quit listening to worldly music, and I was careful on what movies I watched. I wanted to dedicate myself to the to serving at church. I remember not having, I don't know, you guys can come up with your own conclusions, but I remember not having any fear of sharing about Jesus, sharing the gospel with anyone, anywhere I went. And seems like today I struggle more in not not having a negative reaction. But back then, yeah, it was Jesus at work. Jesus, you know, just talking about Jesus everywhere I went. And but then again, I want to say that I was very ignorant of many things. I didn't know a lot of things of the Word of God. Also, not long after, you know, just like I said, when I started going to the church and seeking for the Lord, I was living with my girlfriend, and I felt convicted of living in fornication. We lived together at my grandpa's house, and in February 29, 2008, one day I went to pick her up from work, and we stopped at the courthouse and asked what was needed to get married, and so we ended up having all we needed with us. So we married that same moment, you know, right after, on the way back from picking her up. We our witness was a lawyer his specialties in divorces, and he was our witness. He gave us his card and said, you know, if you guys ever need my service. But he was smiling when he said that. So yeah, my life was in a good direction. Was going in a good direction. Okay, this is, God was doing some cleaning in my life, and in July 26, that's when we got married at church. July 26, we got married. I remember 2008 was a good year for me. I was honest with where I was at with the Lord. You know, I was with what was being given to me. But then, I had a big battle. And I'm trying to remember that verse that talks about that you take it by force. Can somebody quote that verse that... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I really identify with that verse, because me and mom were going to the same church, but when God was doing all this, I still didn't forgive her yet. Like I said, God was doing a work in my life, but then I started feeling convicted of not forgiving her. But it was a battle. It was, you know, it's hard for me to say, but I never had that much hate towards anyone. You know, I was, but praise the Lord that he gave me victory over that. I was able to forgive her, you know. It was, but like I said, there's many times where, in my case, I had a, really give it a fight, you know. So there's things that, especially, you know, doing God's will, or you're doing your will, it's, you gotta, don't go by feelings either, you know, just to be obedient and faithful. I'm learning how to do the right thing, even if you don't feel like it, and be faithful to the Lord. But yeah, I felt delivered, you know. I really, you know, not having that bitterness or hatred towards someone, that's just poison. I felt relieved when me and mom came clean and we were okay. I was okay with her. I didn't have nothing against her anymore. And I thank the Lord that in time we made peace. Right, she passed away 2 years ago. She lived in Mexico because she had cancer and she passed away. But you know, right at the end, it was God's mercy. Sometimes when you have a illness like that, it can be to our benefit. If we're not 100% with the Lord, you know, we can have time to come clean with Him and be ready. In the same year, 2008, me, my wife, and one of my little brothers got baptized. That's when we were baptized, not long after I got married. And so it was a pretty good year. I remember going to, they had a what an encounter. They organized an encounter where you go like somewhere in the, you know, like in a retreat. And it's just message after message and just seeking God. And I remember coming back and really felt really blessed. And but that didn't stay very long. You know, when you don't fit that, then it kind of goes away. We're not careful to maintain a love for the Lord. It's we can grow cold, you know. And many of the people that used to go to the church I went now no longer go to church anymore. It's just a big falling away right now, but that's a sign of the last days. So. So I can say I had a church life, and I think I was growing in knowledge, but not in Christ. It's different. Just studying and knowing the Word, but it's different when how much do you live. How much word do you live? You know, that's the question. And they really didn't have much of that. It was just, you know, how you can lose salvation. And I guess they didn't have obedience too important for them. And so that's where I was at. And I guess it was easy. It was an easy road to walk. So that's where I was at. But I did, I served as the youth pastor there. I remember doing all kinds of things to draw people. They don't like, there's a couple times me and another guy were dressed like clowns and, you know, just some of the things that I kind of don't think different now. I think the gospel is enough and God's spirit to draw people to God. No, we don't need nothing carnal to draw people. But then, somewhere in 2011, I backslid. Like I said, like many the same way from other churches I knew also backslid and just quit going to church. But I think you know, even though we can be Christians, if we don't stay close to God, we need to be careful and always, you know, just have discernment. I can say that I never grew deep roots in Christ and His teachings. I'm not justifying going back to the world, going back to living in sin. But, you know, there's There's a lot of things that contributed to that. No, it was a light gospel what I had. It didn't take long to see that the church I was not committed. There was no fellowship. That's another thing. No fellow. Like, it was just, I'll see you there, and after it's finished, then you go on with your life, and I go on with mine, and see you next Sunday. It was not what the Bible says about his church. They were not giving a picture of what the Word of God says about a church. So but then again, I don't wanna I'm responsible for my actions. Nobody's gonna pay for my sins. I gotta give account for my own sins, so so after walking in some light that I had, I fell into the darkest period of my life. There's that passage that says that when the bad spirit leave the man and have a clean house, then it's worse when they come in. And that's my case. So I can see the Word of God is true, you know. When I can see the Word of God in my own life. How can I not believe that the Word of God is true? So I lost control and fell into deep secret sins, which one of them led to the biggest mistake of my life. And some of these sins I wanna for protection of children, and I'm not trying to hide nothing. Many of you know what these are, and it was dark. It was bad. It was bondage. It was misery. I really look back and just, wow, it was. We need to love the Lord. And I didn't go that bad right away. It's just little things. It starts with a little thing, you know. It's just I had a job that we go out of town, just men, you know, and no more church for me. And I was already being discouraged, you know, with the people from church. Really, they were they didn't want to get nothing done. So that helped too. I started listening to worldly music again, and just watching all kind of things again. And little by little, I went farther and farther back. And it was hard to come out of there. It was really hard. But I'm amazed, you know. Even though I was going through all these dark things, I never got to the point where, oh, I cared less. I had shame. I felt guilty. I felt lost. I was in bondage. I was in deep bondage. So it's hard for me to put this things in order, but so I live a life like that, and then right at the end of this life, that's when I start working with Marlon. So, like, I almost had church every day at work. And I just want to say that it's really important that, like, see, right now I'm sharing my testimony by word, but it's a power testimony. Our life, it's more than 1,000 words, you know, just to have that our life can back up our words. You know, we can preach without saying a word, and that gave me hope. You know, that gave me hope that, oh, okay, I guess not. There could be. That told myself I can. It's possible. That's what I was thinking at this time. It's possible that I can come out of this. So yeah, God rescued me again from this sins, and one of the sins was, you know, I don't want to say the word, but watching what I'm not supposed to. Many men fall into that. That was a battle for me. I just want to say that, you know, if anybody, you know, just have us, you know, it can be any sin, you know. Sometimes the devil tell you that you can never be free of it. And many times I thought that I thought that I was. So, but at this time I was crying out to God again for, I confess my sins. I confess my sins to God. I repented of them. And like I said, with one of them, it was a battle. I had the pastors from the church come to my house, and I repented before them too, and went back to the church. But then I didn't fit in no more. I knew about the what's it called? The kingdom gospel, you know, just to follow God's word. I remember one morning we were in Bible study Sunday morning, and there it was a lady teaching the. She was teaching the lesson, and I said, you know, the Word of God says that, you know, the women are not authorized to preach. You know, it's God's Word, and everybody went against me. Another thing, my wife, she started dressing different before she wear anything. But she started not using jewelry or makeup. But, you know, it's kind of like Bible talks about it. You know, we believe that the Word of God is inspired by God. We can't just pick what we want, what we like, and what we don't, just to ignore it. It don't work that way. And I remember, even though I started going back, like I said, with one of that sin, I was still. But now it things change, you know. Before, willingly, I would watch, you know, the things I watched, and now it was a battle. It was little by little, the Lord was giving me victory, you know, and. Praise the Lord that I'm free of that, you know. And I'm very careful in that. I just knowing how bad it can be. And I'm really thankful. I'm really thankful that. The Lord had mercy on me. Also, I want to mention that. Then I started. They had like a 3-year program. After 3 years of going into studies, you could be a pastor. And I finished my first year, and I was starting my second year, but you know, I just didn't fit in anymore. It was just the things they did, you know. They allow remarriage. And speaking in tongues, they believe in only the only sign of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is you speak in tongues. No other signs. You just gotta you gotta speak in tongues. If not, then they believe one thing is being sealed with the Spirit, and one thing is being baptized with the, they think that's a second a more powerful experience. So what I did, I gave that away. You know, I knew that they wanted me to later on in the future be a servant there and be a minister there, but you know, they make you sign a paper when you finish the studies. They make you sign a paper, and you got to teach the way they tell you to teach. You're not free to teach God's word like you're supposed to. So what I did, I wrote a letter to the pastor and saying thank you, and I said I'm gonna go somewhere else. And so I sent a letter with my grandpa, and he said that the pastor cried when he read it. But ever since then, we haven't talked since then. Many of the changes I've done, they think it's not necessary. But good thing that we can, whatever we do it in joy and for the Lord. We're not trying to gain heaven by what we do, but we want to be thankful and submissive to the Lord. So like I said, I repented of and confessed my sins to but I wasn't free, you know. Like I said, I confessed my sins to God. I repented. I had victory. No, I wasn't doing the sins that I repented of. I turned away. But one day at work, me and Marlon were talking, and he was mentioning about when you do something wrong to someone, it's not enough just confessing to God, but you got to go to that person and come clean with that person. You know, it was, so that's why, you know, I fight with God over that. I just prayed to God many times for the same sins, you know, because I didn't feel delivered. But I knew what the problem was. But I was scared of the consequences. I was scared of, you know, what the damage it was going to do, and the consequences that were to come. And I actually have a passage that would back up what I said would be in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 23 and 26. And it says, Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there any gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So I think that could, you know, back up what I said about, you know, I had to confess to the persons that were involved in my sin. And, you know, I remember one day we had a meeting with some of the brothers here in the back room, and I come clean before them. I confess my sins, and I felt better, but I know there was still more people to come clean with. And but then again, if we keep any secrets on this life, they're gonna come out when we're before God. You know, it's better to confess our sins, repent of them, and confess them to God, and be in peace with God. That's very important, you know. Because when we die and we have hidden sins, they're gonna come out anyway. You know, and you can't hide nothing from God. So, and after I, you know, just come out with clean and deal with the people I needed to, it's not easy. It hasn't been easy, but I value more the work that Christ did for me. I have a vision to just, I want to have me and my children and my wife, you know, one day be with the Lord. I want to live for Him here and be able to learn of Him and to be Christ-like. That's one of the things I desire, just to do His will, you know, and surrender. One of the things that He delivered me from was my attitude, you know, just selfish at work, selfish at home, you know, not my. I was used to get angry, you know, like no self-discipline, and like I said, we only overcome these things when we really see God with all our heart and we're willing to follow Him. You know, when I say follow Him, it's follow God's word and to be doers of His word. But even though I'm still suffering the consequences of my actions, I have peace with God. You know, and I know that He loves me, and I want to live for Him, serve Him, because His love is too much to understand. But so I want to probably just close with a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 31. verse 18 to 20. Here's another passage that I really identify myself with. And he has my name. So it says, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock, and custom to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, said the Lord. So, yeah, that's a blessing, you know. It's by God's grace, you know, there's going to be trials and there's going to be hard times, you know. Life goes on. We're done until we go with him. I'm a work in process in his hands, and but one thing I can do is stay close to him, you know, just every day sing to him, then pray to him, read his word, like be more dependent. Sometimes we can never think that we're too strong, and today I still feel like I need to cry out to the Lord, like I cry when I was gonna die, you know. When I see my need. I see my need of God in my life, and I just want to go on and learn from Him, you know. Just keep my eyes on Him, and I also want to take time to thank you each brother here. You know, I felt challenged many times, not just on Sunday mornings, but sometimes when we get together for fellowship, I feel really encouraged and challenged. I really do, and that's one of the things, you know, sometimes when I get discouraged, I think of many of you. It's a blessing knowing that you're not alone. You know, there's more people you can walk with. It's a blessing. So yeah, that's all I have. God bless everyone.